We also want to thank Rich Harwood for joining us here tonight. Rich is the founder and president of Harwood Institute for Public Innovations. That's a nonprofit group that facilitates community discussions. And Rich was one of the facilitators, the main facilitators at the Sandy Hook Elementary School community discussions as far as what to do with that school after that tragedy in Sandy Hook. And Rich, I want to welcome you to the Roadhouse.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be with you.
Thank you. And it seems like we're having one tragedy after another. I believe this is the seventh one where a gunman in the last decade, where a gunman in the U.S. has killed at least 10 people. And what I'm talking about is the Navy Yard shootings, which have just happened. And you've been through a few of these as far as getting involved and becoming a facilitator to help communities out.
Yeah, well, I was, on December 14th, a gunman walked into, as you mentioned, Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, a town of about 27,000 people. He gunned down 20 first graders and six adults who were at the school at the time, including teachers. And then I was called by what's called the first selectman, but essentially the mayor of Newtown, to see if I would lead the community in a process to decide what to do with that school. And Buck, as you know, at one level on the surface, this was about what to do about a building. But in reality, what it really was about was whether or not the community was willing or able or ready to move from a sense of trauma and despair to one of healing and hope. And that's ultimately what it was really about.
Is there, I'm assuming, just thinking of myself, is there a period of time to wait for people to process a little bit and communities to process a little bit before a real discussion can begin, a progressive discussion?
Yeah, I think in terms of the community, you know, as you know and your listeners know, and, you know, after something like this happens, you know, people need some time to gather themselves. And for some people, as is the case in Newtown, you know, it will be a long, ongoing process for them individually and as families to work through the trauma and despair that they and the loss that they experience. And, you know, what I found in Newtown and in looking at other communities and also working in communities that have experienced large economic dislocation, which was its own kind of acute trauma, each community is different, each context is different. And so while there might be a framework for thinking about how one moves forward, one needs to be really sensitive to the particular conditions and context and situation that they're dealing with in each community.
Are there some common elements, though, that you would look at in a tragedy like these in order to kind of formulate a healing process so you can lead the discussion?
Yeah, you know, the Institute has identified four or five key things that are important. And, you know, one of the things I think we need to recognize is we're really great as a society at focusing, creating almost like a focal point of concentration in the early days and months after a tragedy, whether it's a shooting, a man-made tragedy, or a disaster like a tornado or a hurricane or flooding. Most of the money that is spent after these disasters is in the first 2 months. And in a place like Newtown, they had warehouses of folks who, well-intentioned, had sent pajamas and all sorts of things, teddy bears, to the families who were victims of this. But I think what's really important to your question is how a community actually makes a pivot to reasserting itself moving forward. And there, I think what's really important is that there's a process by which people can come together, people in the community now, can come together and both express their sense of despair, their sense of mourning, their sense of anger, but also in the very same moment or moments begin to express their aspirations for what it means for their community to move forward. There's got to be a pivot to the aspirations of the community moving forward and how the community can actually not only make this a defining moment, but not become totally defined by the moment that they find themselves in. So that's one of about four or five things that we think is really important, but I think that's the very first step that needs to happen.
It seems to me that when these things happen, there's right away a desire just to return to being
right.
normal.
That's right. There is a desire to return to be normal, and I think in the Newtown process, the turning point in that process, Buck, was when, as part of this process, I was leading an ad hoc group of 28 elected officials from four different governing boards who had never worked together and were often rivals in the community. And there was a moment in what was our fourth meeting, public meeting on this, where the task force was actually working through these issues in public. There was a moment when the task force really had to come to terms with the fact that they couldn't turn back the clock, that they couldn't undo what had happened, that they couldn't take what is by definition an imperfect situation and find a perfect answer moving forward, because the only perfect answer would be, in fact, for it never to have happened in the first place. And it's at that moment that in Newtown, what I saw unfold before my very eyes was the elected officials saying, you know, we need to figure out how we can move forward, and this is literally the phrase they used, as best we can, knowing that whatever we do will be inadequate in the face of the situation that we have at hand, and that we can't make an imperfect situation perfect. The damage has been done, the loss has occurred, and we have to simply try to get back up and move forward as best we can.
So it's kind of, I kind of think of it maybe as the community kind of has to reassert itself.
Yeah, the community, yeah, and it's interesting because you know, a lot of recovery efforts, after a natural disaster, is often focused on rebuilding the buildings that were lost, right, or rebuilding downtown. In a tragedy like Newtown or the Navy Yard here in D.C., we often focus on what do we do with the building where it occurred and how do we help individuals and their families repair their lives as best they can. I don't think we spend nearly enough time and folks in the disaster community have told me this is true. We don't spend nearly enough time about what does it mean as a community. You know, a community is a common enterprise. You can't do it individually or simply as a family. What does it mean for a community as a common enterprise to reassert itself and reset where it wants to go in a shared way? And I think that's one of the most important things we can begin to focus on.
Is it difficult after these events happen and you come in to talk to different groups? There's understandably frustration and anger and a lot of sadness in there. Is it hard to get people to stop finger pointing?
It can be. You know, we met the only private meeting the task force did in Newtown was with teachers who had really been tragically affected by this, and they simply were not really ready. They said they weren't ready to go back to the school, and it led to some finger pointing at that point. In communities that face acute economic dislocation, like Detroit, like Flint, Michigan, where I've done work, or Youngstown, Ohio, you know, people want to place blame somewhere. It gives them some sense of coherence, some sense of agency or power, and some comfort. The task at hand, though, is, as I mentioned before, is to find a balance between letting people express those frustrations, because they're very real, and then helping them pivot to express their aspirations for moving forward. As you asked before, you know, that's a matter of timing and context and being sensitive to where the community really is. The dilemma, I think, or the misstep that we often make in these efforts is we try to sweep under the rug those frustrations. We're afraid of them. We're afraid of the emotions. We're afraid of the rage at times. We're afraid of the sheer hurt that people have experienced. We don't like to experience it ourselves as they're directing it, or at least we're feeling it. And I think one of the things we've got to come to terms with in these situations is those emotions are real. The only way in which people can move forward is to express them.
We're speaking with Rich Harwood, and he is the founder and president of Harwood Institute for Public Innovation. That's a nonprofit group that facilitates community discussions. As far as what's happened with the Navy Yard shooting, is it too early, you know, for you to be involved in that tragedy?
Well, as you know, the building, I think it's called Building 197, is still technically a crime scene. Mm-hmm. And it's so workers who once worked there, the survivors are not allowed in. They've all been, in fact, all their belongings are still there, and they're just, the FBI is just arranging now, I understand, to send some folks, some contractors in to gather those belongings and bring them back out. But no, I don't think it's too early for someone like myself to be involved in helping folks there think about their options, and in helping folks there listen attentively right now before anything formal begins, in an informal way, so that they can gauge where people are and they can begin to think about some of the challenges and issues they're going to face. And, you know, there are a multitude of challenges. Some deal with what might be considered traditional psychological, mental health issues that need to be the first order of business, which is making sure people who have been adversely affected get the help and support that they need. That's the first order. Beyond that, I think, though, there are going to be questions about people are going to start asking, you know, do we turn the building into a memorial? Do we set a memorial someplace else? They're going to have concerns about potentially their safety. Beyond that, though, I think what's really important in terms of this pivot that I've been mentioning is how does the community in the Navy Yard pivot so that, as I said, this is a defining moment, but it doesn't come to define that community, and that people in the Navy Yard and perhaps the neighborhood surrounding it can begin to articulate what it means to move forward and how they can strengthen their community coming out of this. And I think those are all really important things to do. And part of the judgment, the last point on this, part of the judgment that needs to be made is where really is the community, how widespread or deep does the response need to be? And I think all those things need to be calibrated carefully.
Yeah, for our audience, as far as Sandy Hook was concerned, you were involved in, as you mentioned when we started this discussion, with the community discussion about what to do with the building, but underlying that was what the building would seem like to somebody who's gone through a shooting like that, where
right.
their lives are you know, could be over any minute, and their friends and
right.
other folks all being shot around them, and the same in the Navy Yard building.
Exactly. You know, in Newtown, as the task force was meeting publicly, we heard consistently from families of victims, families of survivors, parents who have their whose kids attended Sandy Hook Elementary School and who have been temporarily for a couple years or three until a new school is built, had been moved to an adjacent community school that had been empty and had been reopened by another school district called Chalk Hill. And in each case, you know, Buck, we heard different kinds of stories. Some people saying, you know, I could never step foot in that building because at one point we were talking about renovating it. In other cases, people said, even if you built a new building, the entrance to the land where the building sits, you still have to go past the firehouse where, if you remember, all the parents of kids in Sandy Hook Elementary School gathered to find out whether or not their child was dead or alive.
Mm-hmm.
And where a lot of teachers and students ran to that firehouse for protection. They said, you know, every time I drive past that firehouse on the main road, it turns my stomach. To think that I'm going to turn up the roadway into the schoolhouse is unfathomable to me. And yet other people who had similar experiences said, you know, we need to go back to that school. We need to demonstrate to ourselves, they were saying, that we're not going to allow the gunmen to define who we are and define where we go to school. And then there were a whole bunch of other folks who were saying, you know, as much as we are sensitive to what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School, we need to remember that a school is built for a generation or two. You know, they usually last about 50 years, I guess, 30, 50 years. And so there are many children who want to go back to that school, but even more than that, there are many families and children who will be attending that school in the next 5 years, 10 years, and 20 years. And we really need to think about those kids as well. And in those terms, people said, in many cases, let's rebuild where we are. And then still others said, for whatever reasons, this is an opportunity to build a new school on a different lot, and that ought to be our option. And we had the whole gamut, the whole gamut.
And the way we get news and information in our society now, we get a quick hit. It lasts for maybe a month if it's a really dramatic thing, but most
right.
things you hear about, and then the next day it's on the new news.
Right.
And I don't think most people visualize what goes on after these things occur. It's not a quick hit for the people involved, that's for sure.
No, it's not a quick hit, and the effects are lasting. And again, in Newtown, wherever you go, there are signs and cards hanging up on walls of diners from people from as far away as Montana, for instance. And it envelops the community in a certain kind of way. And in you know, where you're located is our small communities, your listenership. In Newtown, it's a small New England town made up of different boroughs, and so when so many people are affected, it's almost hard to go out and not bump into someone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to experience something again. And it's a long-term process. You know, we're now talking to the folks in Newtown about, now that they've moved past the school decision, what does it mean for the community to reassert itself even more in terms of moving forward and setting some goals for itself that it can work towards moving forward in terms of strengthening the community and becoming the community they want to become in the future. And I think that'll be an important step for them.
And next will be the process for the Navy Yard community as well.
That's right.
In the just a couple of minutes that we have left, Rich, can you tell us a little bit about your new book, The Work of Hope?
Yeah, you know, I, in a sense, took a walk across the country for a year, talking to Americans of all kinds and stripes about their hopes, their dreams, about the way in which the country is moving, about politics. And these were all in-depth conversations for 3 hours at a time. And what we found is the number one issue, and this part of these conversations were actually part during the Great Recession and then after, even while you thought that people did talk about jobs and education and the kinds of the feelings they felt of the rules being rigged for the powerful and the rich. You know, the number one issue, Buck, that arose in those conversations was this. People want to restore our belief in ourselves and one another that we can actually come together and get things done. That was the number one issue, the number one theme that emerged from all those conversations over the course of the year. And as I travel around the country now and talk about that, it's really striking how that resonates with people and how I hear people wrestling with that and wanting to come back into community life and find a way to make that happen.
Are you going to be walking through the Senate chamber or House buildings at all? Maybe they could use a little of your consultation.
Yeah, God knows it's a mess here in Washington D.C., and it reflects the worst of us. Surely not the best of us.
It sure does, Rich. One more thing: could you let people know about where they can learn more about your work on the web?
Sure, I'd love to. It's www.theharwoodinstitute.org.
We've been speaking with Rich Harwood, and he's the founder and president of Harwood Institute for Public Innovation. That's a nonprofit group that facilitates community discussions. Rich, I want to thank you so much for joining us here tonight.